Sometimes we need a little inspiration, and Real Things Living podcast does just that. Real Things Living has a focus on resilience and connection with others. This podcast is brought to you by Gemini Media. Gemini Media delivers the best solutions for communications through collaborative relationships.
Hi, y'all. It's Bridget Cutshaw with Real Things Living. Today, my guest is Jose Pereira. So hopefully I said that correctly. Can you say hi, Jose?
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. And for those that are listening, he has an amazing story, a crazy, amazing story. And he's here to share what happened to him. My understanding is that really the peak of his career, he was involved in a hostage situation for many years. And I wanted him to share his story and what he learned from that. Can you say hi and explain more?
Yes, my situation happened in 2017. I was in the pinnacle of my career because I did a 35 years career in the oil and gas. And I was the CEO of a multinational here in the U.S., Citgo Petroleum. Citgo Petroleum is the U.S. Base of PDVSA, that is the Venezuelan oil and gas. I'm Venezuelan born, dual citizen. But I began my career in Venezuela, in the oil and gas in Venezuela in the 80s. And everybody that knows Venezuela about that time was a very wealthy and good country. Today, that's not the situation. Unfortunately, Venezuela has become a mess with the regime that is there. But the point is not that. I was here, and in 2017, in the middle of that year, there began to be a lot of political issue between Venezuela and the U.S., because the U.S. The government at that time, Donald Trump, he declared that that government was illegitimate and then began to impose sanctions. And for me, being the CEO of Citgo was a big deal because we were in the middle of that thing, but I never imagined that that could affect me directly. So I was going through that situation, having 35 years, I talked with my wife and said, you know what, I'm going to get retired. I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to get retired. And I was planning to become a consultant. So I flew to Caracas, asked to my boss to accept my retirement, and he accepted it. So I came back in October that year, ready to get retired. And came November, I was in my Thanksgiving mode, going to my vacation to get retired, and I received a call that go back to Caracas to make a presentation, and that became to be a settlement. I flew to Caracas with my five top executives, we were six, and they took the six of us as hostage. And to tell you the truth, when that happened, the first thing is that you can never in your nightmare imagine that something like that can happen to you. But I discovered, and today this is one of the things that I talk about, I became victim of what is called the hostage diplomacy that many of these countries apply, that they take hostage somebody, maybe a high-profile person, not a politician, high-profile, because they negotiate and they leverage you. And that's what this guy began to do. They begin to ask to get lifted the sanctions, to get lifted the oil ban.
Right.
So can you imagine you getting in that situation?
Right. You are a target, I think, because of your high level in the industry that you are in.
So we were targeted. And believe me, when I figured out where we were like 1 month after, because the first month I was in a denial mode. I was saying, Donald, this is wrong. This is a mistake. I'm going to correct this. But when you realize that where you are in the situation you are, is that you begin to get scared, because like 6 months after, they recalled the U.S. ambassador. So it began to be even worse. When the U.S. ambassador was recalled, I thought that we were left behind. So we literally, you think that this can last for years, and it lasted for years. But 1 year before we came back, now is Biden in office, they appointed an ambassador to be in charge of the negotiations. And he flew to Caracas and he met us 1 year before. At that moment, I was sure that we were going to be coming back. I didn't know when, but I was in a mode that really thinking that we were going to come back. And there comes the resilience there, because the way we decided to manage it, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about the six, because the first year we were isolated, each of us, but because the pressure began to get so big. Our families in the first year, they were silent, because that was the instruction that they were receiving from the government, that be silent because they were trying to negotiate. But after 1 year, all the six families got together and they went big to the press. They went to all the press, and when the press, the news hit the press, it really went to all the press, and the press, they put us like a brand. They begin to call us the Citgo Six, so we became like a rock band, the Citgo Six. So it's funny, because after 1 year, we were really the Citgo Six. Even in Venezuela, all the guards, everybody called us the Citgo Six. When they hey, Citgo Six, come here, we became really the Citgo Six. So well, begin this negotiation, and 1 year after we got together, because they put us together, we created like a survivor plan, and that really was a game changer for us, because I always talk about that any situation in your life, any adversity, when you got focused in what is happening, and you switch your mind to be positive, even during a dark moment, but you begin to think that this will have a solution. We're going to figure this out. This is not going to break me. You begin to think positive and get together. I begin to have this strong bond with our team. And I begin to smuggle letters with my wife. So I begin to smuggle those letters with her. And it was a great connection. I can tell you, every 2 days, I was writing a letter to my wife, and she was replying to me. We created like a secret code, and I stayed doing that during 3 years. I kept the next 3 years writing letters. When I came back, my wife had already 1,000 letters. I have a pile of them. Wow. I still have them here. I had to compile them, some part of the letters. And those letters became kind of my memoir, and that's the way my book is written, based on those letters. And those letters are like a testament of where we were going, what was going in our mind, the moment we were living. And it was kind of interesting when I began to edit with my wife, you can see the evolution, because that is the human nature. When you begin to think that the things has a solution, you begin to evolve. And that's what we did. We begin to evolve. We begin to think that even we were in a dark moment, this will be solved. And we begin to work on that. We begin to take care of our mental and psychological well-being. We begin to pray and read the Bible. So we begin to exercise. We were doing meditation, yoga, static running, cardio, push-ups. I begin to do push-ups in my life. Because one of my guys, he's a marathon runner, so he had training how to train himself to run a marathon. So he began to be like a coach, training everybody to do things. We began to play domino. We did a domino tournament. We did a lot of things to keep up ourselves sane. And I believe that is part of the being resilient. Even that you're in a dark moment, and you can be in something that you can think that you're not going to make it. But if you switch your mindset, it will be different. So when they opened the door in October 1st in 2022, we were ready to come. We were ready to come. And we landed in a Caribbean island with through a prisoner swap. Then we were headed here in San Antonio to a military base where we were submitted to a decompression program. And when we were there and talking with the militaries, they were figuring out how we were. They were surprised. They were surprised the way we handled this. Even the ambassador that was negotiating for us, I remember the first time he saw us physically. We had like a 2-hour meeting with him. He told us that he was surprised how he saw our morale, how we were a high morale and how we were in a good shape, because we begin to really work hard on that. I was always thinking that I didn't want to come back broken. I didn't want to come back, to be a burden to my family. I wanted to be in a peace. And that's what I did. I'm not going to say that I have a therapist today every week, and I went through several processes, but we were really, really thinking that we needed to come back in one piece to our families.
So. What you're saying made me think that you definitely built, every one of you probably built your leadership skills because you helped each other. Probably what your value is to each of each other, right? And that gave you the really proper mindset. That is just, I'm sure in the beginning, yes, you had to deal with the scariness, but you knew you had the hope that you're going to get out. Is that the right word?
Today that I'm a leadership and resilient coach, yeah. This is exactly what I tell the teams. Because when you're put this picture this in you have you're a leader in a business, and today in the challenging world, things are changing, and maybe you're having setbacks in your business. If you have the proper mindset and if you have that team, because the important here is having the team, that's what we did. We created the bond. And we decided to support each other and have a very frank communication. So this is something that you extrapolate to your life and to your business. Because sometimes the challenges in a business is exactly that. Then you're not having good communication. You're not being empathy. This is something that we did too. We discovered that we had a lot of commonalities because the six of us were long-term marriage. Long careers, we had a lot of commonalities. And we begin to talk about our families, our kids, our grandsons, our travels, our foods, our music. We discovered the three of us were really big fans of rock, and we were all the day talking about rock band. Every day talking about who was the best rock band player. So you begin to be empathic. And then you know about their... I remember that one of my guys, he got her granddaughter born, like 3 years being there, and my grandson was born like 1 week after, so her granddaughter and my grandson are kind of contemporaneous. So we were talking about that. And we were talking about our wife, our families, our kids. So you begin to get connected to the people. And this is something that in a company, in any business, that's the key for any a leader, right? Have that connection with their teams. So today, I decided to extrapolate what we went through to teach it to business. Because that is life.
It's critical, right? It's everybody thinks they can do everything by themselves. And they, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to be more successful with support, right? Is that the right
This is important. Never do things alone. This is another lesson I learned. Never navigate your challenges alone. You need to have your support. Your support can be your circle of loved ones or can be your teammates. But you need to do it with a support. Anything. You need to understand what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths. Have that self-awareness, because sometimes you believe that you know everything. You don't know everything. You're not a Superman. So understand your weakness and support with your team. That's the key for any business.
Right. That is a very powerful lesson, right? It's just something I used to when I was younger. I could do it all by myself. But I've learned I didn't have an experience like you, but having support did help you get over those fears. And I think the mindset that you have that you had and you shared with everybody else. You extended your family, you supported each other. And you, I see it as also you were looking for a good outcome, expecting the good. Is that another term you can say? You expected the good somehow.
And today, because I one of them for me was a lesson, discover God in this situation. And I, the first week I came back, I went to the church. I went with my daughter and my daughter-in-law and my wife. They were already going to this church that today I go. And I the first week I went to the church and she introduced me to the pastor. He knew my story and I have like 15 months going every week. I do a church service there with a senior
citizen. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm doing my preparation to become as soon as possible one of the leaders in one of this group in the community, because I discovered that you need to be connected to God. This is another thing that I discovered. Any person that is having any business, the only way to be really successful is to get connected with God. That's it's the true. Only way. It's the only way.
You got to have this, to me, this bring out that spirit in you.
It has to be that way, because it's not, you can be rich, but you're not going to be abundant.
Yes.
That abundant comes when you're connected to that. You have that connection.
It's, I'm seeing what you're saying. I'm picking up hope, faith, and spirit. And resilience, right? And that, to me, affects your mindset. And you,
you said that very well. And let me tell you, when today that I'm doing speaking, my speech is called "From Captivity to Freedom: Embracing the Resilience with a Faith, with a Hope, and the Love." So you said exactly what I'm saying.
Oh wow, let's see how you resonated with me. And love, I think the world does need more love right now too. I think. I think you probably see this too. We focus so much on negative stuff. And I like to focus on what's the takeaway, what's the good out of it. And that helps my mindset. And that's why when I heard about your story, I'm like, I want to hear more. I want to get your vibe, Jose. But the right word, you're putting out the good kind of vibes that we need to hear.
I, for some reason, you go to this situation, and I truly today believe that for some reason God put me in this path, and it's kind of a calling that you at some point and you have the calling and you have to attend it. So I decided to talk on this because I believe that my story can help others, and yes, if that helps, it's okay. And as I said, I converted this in a coaching program. My coaching program is called Life Pills for a Surviving Guy. It's basically this. Basically, what we're talking here is exactly what I put in my program. Because any situation that you're going in your life, any, there is a kind of a pattern. So the way you decided to overcome it, using this technique, you will survive anything in your life. Anything.
Right. That's true. And to go back to your book, it's called From Hero to Villain. Has that been released yet? Or
just it's going to be released in 3 weeks. In the editing process, it's okay. Like 80%. Yesterday, I received the cover, you know, of the book. I'm excited. So it's going to be like in 2 or 3 weeks out. But it's basically my story, but with a legacy. For me, the legacy is that the person that when read the book and close it can say, wow, if this guy went through this and he's here telling this story, I can tell my story, I can survive it. Because that's what I want to put out there.
I think that's perfect. I think people, like I mentioned earlier, I think we need to hear more stories like yours that have unfortunately, it was not so good in the beginning, but you had the right mindset to get yourself through it. And yes, your program, like you said, is called Life Pills for Survival Guide. And your coaching program, is it one-on-one or is it group? Or I was just curious.
I do it one-on-one. I do it one-on-one because this is very, very tailor-made I heard that the person's need sometimes are more their leadership skills. I try to help them to unleash those skills, because another thing that I discovered, everybody's a leader by nature. You have it inside yourself. Everybody's a leader by nature. And that inner force is inside you. You have this to discover it. And once you discover it, you can become a great leader. So this comes with the empathy, the connection, the being inspiring others, having communication. So there are a lot of things that I put together in the program. So that's why I do it one-on-one.
Gotcha. That's good. You're got to be able to dive deeper based on everybody's
Correct.
Different.
Correct.
And their experience is different, and their takeaway is going to be different. Right.
Correct.
I was curious. And then I was thinking about your other, I don't know, I shouldn't say buddies, but do they live near you? I'm assuming you still connect with each other regularly.
We did a meeting past December, December 27, because the mayor of Houston was a surprise. They called the office of the mayor, called us, and he proclamated us, and he declared December 19 is the official Circo 6 day here in Houston.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. So we received a proclamation from the mayor, and because of our endurance and our resilience, and it was like a great event. And then we were the six, their families, and their kids, and we had the opportunity to gather together. We're going to have an event in May. There's every May. There are several foundations that advocate for hosted communities here in the U.S. that they meet in Washington, D.C., and they do, like, they call the Hostage Week. So I'm invited to that event. It's going to be like a 3 or 4 events. There is a big gala. There is a foundation called the James Foley Legacy Foundation. By the way, Ms. Right. Diane Foley, the leader of the foundation, she's the mother of James Foley, was the journalist that unfortunately died like 12 years ago, decapitated alive.
Right.
Her mother decided to create this foundation. It's a great foundation today. It's going to be a great event, because even Sting is going to attend the event. Sting, you know, he's going to be there.
Yes.
He's going to be kind of the main part of the event. So in those events, typically you gather with former hostage that we are connected, our families of people that unfortunately are still have people there, because this is something that people are not aware. They're Americans. They have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years still there in other countries. So this is something that is a big issue. And today I talk about this. It's a way to raise awareness. And people sometimes are not aware about this.
Right. We don't hear much about that.
No, people don't talk too much. In the Middle East situation, kind of amplified a little bit, because there was a hostage situation there. But other people have 12 years. There's a journalist from Houston that have 12 years in Syria. And there are people, there's a guy that have more than 10 years in China. And there are people that were released recently from Iran that had 7 years. So there are a lot of people around the world that are going through hostage diplomacy.
Well, I'm glad that we connected, because I'm learning from you, even though I'm an advocate as well, but mine is from the health aspect. But this affected your health, but you ended up coming up, like you said, stronger with your working out with your I call them your buddies. The Sitco 6. I just think you supported each other. You need that. And that probably really helped a lot. If being isolated would have been, who knows, it might have been a different outcome. I don't know.
Well, we had several things that we really put it that was for fundamental. One, never letting nobody be down. If somebody was, for some reason, and somebody down, immediately the others pump up. No arguments. Anything that was complaining was talked immediately. Never we left it go further. And the other thing is that we were shouting out every day in Anton, there was, we want to come back strong in body, in soul, in spirit. So that became like an anthem that we were doing there.
It's just an amazing story. So what do you think is the biggest takeaway that you want to share with everybody that you and the CITGO 6 experience? What is the biggest takeaway for people listening?
For me, the biggest takeaway is that any adversity in life, you can survive it. You need to have the proper mindset. You need to get connected, never do this alone. You have to be focused in the situation that you're going through. You have to take care of your mental and physical health, and you have to connect to your spirituality. Whoever you think, but you have to connect with your spirituality.
And you are here having this conversation with someone like me and other people, and you are thriving. And I think that is a really great role model, like, you know, what you experienced and how you dealt with it and your leadership and the value that you guys gave each other. So where can people learn more about you, Jose?
I have my webpage. It's very easy, joseconnect.com. I'm very active in LinkedIn too. If you're going to put there my LinkedIn, I do events. This Friday, I'm going to have my therapist in an audio room with me.
Oh,
I was
wow.
having a, I did a Zoom few minutes ago with her. I confirmed that she's going to be with me. So I now my therapist, we became friends and she helped me a lot. Now I'm going to bring to a show that we're going to have on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. I publish a newsletter and I have there my calendar. Anybody that wants to contact me, just book me a 30 minutes call and we can talk. As I said, I do this one-on-one. The people contact me. I understand where are their needs and then we begin to tailor-made it from there. And I do the public speaking that anybody that wants to have in their any events or conference in their companies, I talk with the workers too. So this is basically me. And my book is going to be out very soon that I'm going to be promoting very soon.
Right. That's something that by the time this episode is out, it should be live. For those who are listening, I'll include the links that Jose mentioned. And I think he's very inspirational and motivational, not just inspiration, because what you've been through just makes me, just motivates me to keep pushing through, right? We all have those days, but you really had a lot. How many days was it? 1,775 days, I think.
Correct. Yes. My wife always said that I had to talk more about that. I always talk about 5 years. What's 1,775 days? Yes.
Yes, that is amazing. You have a wonderful, wonderful story, Jose, and I really appreciate you coming here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.